This evening, as I said, we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 5, or the first 11 verses of it. We've been studying our way through the book of Romans, and Paul has been building his argument as he goes along as to how we are saved and how we are right with God. Tonight, having gone through chapter 4 with this discussion of Abraham, we get to chapter 5 where I think Kirk talked about it this morning that in his letter to Philippians, Paul was very emphatic in the way he talked. I kind of feel here that Paul gets to this point and just explodes with so much stuff that's in his head about what is amazing about what God has done. And he just keeps thinking of more and more things to write in his letter, which we'll have a look at in a minute. So we're going to start by reading Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, and then looking at what this passage is teaching us. So picking up from just where we stopped last week, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So as I said, Romans 5 is one of those passages of Scripture that is greatly loved. It's one of those passages that captures in many ways, in a very short space of time, the breadth of the gospel and kind of sums up in Paul's book of Romans all this stuff leading up to Abraham was justified by faith and then through Jesus Christ there is redemption and what that means. And there's two words that this passage focuses on that we're really going to be thinking about tonight. And they're two contrasting words. And I'm wondering, can any of the kids give a simple definition of those words? They're important words for us to learn. We sung the hymn Amazing Grace. Do we actually understand what the word grace means? Or in our second hymn, it talked about the mercy of God. Do you understand what mercy means? Anyone want to have a stab? No? Okay. Yeah? Sorry? Yeah, so that would be grace. Yep. Okay, so mercy is when we don't get what we do deserve. Mercy is when someone says, I won't take out on you what I should. We've talked about that one before. The kids playing the game Mercy. Yeah, there's a few chuckles. We know what that is. That's when you could hurt someone, but you ask that they don't. So mercy is not getting what we do deserve. And grace is the complete opposite of that. It's getting what we do not deserve. It's, as we said, it's undeserved love or undeserved favour. So tonight we're going to be thinking about those two words, mercy and grace, and why they're so important and why Paul uses this passage to teach us about them. So we're going to start with the mercy of God. And there is a distinct theme that Paul gets into in these 11 verses. You know, and it's what we are and what we can do for ourselves. And then he contrasts that with God and what God has done. So I'm going to start with what we are. In verse 6, it says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." In verse 8, Paul tells us that we are sinners. In verse 10, he says that we were enemies. I think that last one, it's kind of built up. We start by being ungodly, those who don't necessarily follow God, to sinners, those who are deliberately breaking God's law, to then being called enemies of God. I think that's a pretty scary thought, to be considered not that you're not God's friend, but that you're his enemy. This is the God who has created all things, the God who sustains all things, and you're his enemy now. And that is what we are. We're sinners, we're ungodly, and we are enemies of God. That's what Paul tells us we are. But it's actually worse than that, if it can get much worse than that, because he also tells us in verse 6, we are without strength. And his meaning there is that we are without any strength to do anything to help ourselves. We can't change the fact that we are sinners, that we are ungodly, and that we're enemies of God. We can't change that, is what Paul says. We are without strength to help ourselves. So not only is our situation desperate in the sense that we are in this terrible state and this terrible relationship with God where we're his enemy, but we can't do anything about it. That's what this passage tells us. So it's actually fairly important that Paul doesn't leave it there, because it's important that he goes into what God has done. And we see this one theme repeated over and over throughout this passage, reminding us that salvation and the ability to do something has nothing to do with us and everything to do with God. Verse 1, we have been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 6, Christ died for the ungodly. In verse 8, Christ died for us. In verse 9, we are justified by his blood. We're saved through him, being Christ for verse 8. In verse 10, reconciled through the death of his son and saved by his life. Verse 11, again, through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we've got a contrast there. We have us who are without strength, and we have God who has done things through Christ. You can sum that up by saying that the mercy of God is demonstrated because God showed his love to us, and God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die to save us. What Paul has said, Christ died for us and we are justified by his blood. This is the mercy of God. But as I said, this talk is not just about God not giving us what we do deserve. Having shown us mercy, Paul goes on in this passage to talk about the grace of God and all the things that God has done. Now, I don't know if you remember this guy. If you're a little bit older, some of the kids may not have any idea what's going on here. This was a guy called Tim Shaw. He used to do telly ads. And he'd get up, and his catchphrase was, "But wait, there's more." You'd be buying a barbecue and you'd end up with a vacuum cleaner. You'd be buying a house and you'd end up with six sets of beautiful steak knives. There was always more. That's kind of what this passage is, actually. Because every time Paul says something, it's, but there's more, and there's more, and there's more. And that's how we've used the grace of God. Because he starts by saying in verse 1 that we have peace with God. And as he keeps going on, we see this theme of more come out again and again. Because he then gets to verse 2. He says we have access by faith into this grace. And it's through whom? So through Christ we have access to this faith. In verse 3, he then starts by saying, and not only that, so and even more, we've got, hope, the glory of God. And then even more, Paul says that we have the Holy Spirit given to us. And then in verse 9, he starts with, but much more then, even more, we have been saved from wrath. And then verse 10, again, let's see if I get this pointer to work. It also, again, much more, we have been reconciled. This is that word reconciliation or reconciled three times in verses 10 and 11. Reconciled means that we've gone from being enemies to no longer enemies. We've been brought back into friendship. And verse 10 again, we've been saved. So when we look at this passage, these are all the things that God has done for us through Jesus Christ. We put them all together and we see a picture of the grace of God. We see that we have been saved through Jesus Christ. We see that we are reconciled to God. Not just made neutral, not just that Christ has paid a debt and we're evens. It actually says that we're reconciled to God. We're brought back into a state of friendship. We have peace. Wow. For people who've been the enemies of God, to say that we have peace with God is an amazing thing. It says that the Holy Spirit has been given to us. We don't earn it. We don't buy it. We don't deserve it, but it says that through Christ we have been given the Holy Spirit. It says because God, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And I think probably the most almost amazing thing at the end of that is that Paul says we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So this isn't just things being put right now and we go on living our lives and that's that. No, Paul says there's even more. There is hope of glory with God, eternity, spent in heaven with God, rejoicing. This is what Paul says has been done for us and been given to us to those who have faith. He says that twice in this passage. He starts off by saying, therefore, having been justified by faith, these are all the things that we have. And then in verse 2, he reminds us that we have access by faith into this grace, into all these good things, into this grace in which we stand, into all these good things God has given to us. We have access by faith. Again, we don't earn them. We don't deserve them. We don't buy them. We've looked at Abraham over the last few weeks. Abraham wasn't given things by God because he was better than anyone else. He wasn't given things by God because he kept religious order or because he did good things. No. And as Paul sums up in verse 1, he was justified by faith. And it was by faith that God has given us all these things. So how about we put it back together? We need to look at this amazing mercy and grace of God. Because what are we? We are sinners. We are ungodly. And by ourselves, we are enemies with God. That is what we all are. And even worse, we aren't able to help ourselves. Left to our own devices, that is what we are, and that is all we will be. We will be ungodly sinners who are enemies with God, and we will face the punishment as enemies of God. And we are without strength to change that. Verse 8 has two small words at the start of it, which basically change the entire world, because it says, but God. We've got to all this point to say, we can't do anything about it. And Paul's even said that maybe someone might try to save someone else. He says, maybe someone would probably not even bother dying for someone who's good. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Two amazing words. But God has shown his love to us and sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die to save us. And because of all this, through faith, we are saved through Jesus Christ. We are reconciled to God. We are no longer enemies. We have peace. We have the Holy Spirit given to us. And we have hope of glory with God. But that is only for those who have faith. Those who do not have faith in God remain enemies with him. Those who have faith are blessed by knowing that their state of being sinful enemies of God is taken away because of what Jesus has done. And they're given so many blessings that we don't deserve. We do not deserve, because of what we've done, to have the hope of glory with God. But we do through Jesus Christ. Because if you're living as an enemy of God, none of this is yours. If you're living in your own strength and think that it's your own goodness that can get you there, that you will be able to do enough. Kirk spoke of it this morning. I was listening while Kirk was preaching this morning, thinking how well that was an introduction to tonight, to think about the fact that it's not our own strength. We can't rely on, as we looked at this morning, we can't rely on our lineage. We can't rely on all of those things that are good about us. We can't rely on the fact that we've been to church or that you're here tonight. It's not enough to save you. But God is able to change that. Because if you have faith in Jesus Christ, that he has died for your sins, then you are reconciled to God. Christ has taken the penalty. He has taken all of that away. You have peace with God. You will be given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you can live with the hope of glory in eternity. Amen.